From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Richmond, California.
San Jose.
Union City.
Eastside. Jackson.
I'm from the Campbell area.
Hayward.
Coming up, transgender people in the Bay Area have been rushing to complete gender transitions in case the process becomes harder under President Trump.
So I'm here to get ahead of what the new administration could take away from trans folks.
Then we'll talk with NPR host and international reporter Kelly McEvers about high-stakes reporting.
I didn't do enough. I'll never get over the feeling that I didn't do enough in Syria, ever.
And a director who believes in the power of live theater to get you out of your comfort zone.
Boy, when you see these terror plays acted live on stage, you don't feel so jaded.
Thrills and chills. Cross Currents is next. Stay with us. In Oakland, hundreds marched to the Alameda County Sheriff's Office, calling on Sheriff Gregory Ahern to not cooperate with ICE deportation enforcement.
Sheriff Ahern, it is clear! We don't want deportations here! Sheriff Ahern, it is clear!
The demonstration formed in response to new immigration enforcement guidelines released by Homeland Security today. While they don't change U.S. immigration law, they instruct ICE to expand the pool of people targeted for deportation. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said today that the guidelines under Obama's administration were too narrow for enforcement officers to do their jobs effectively.
Where there were so many carve-outs that ICE agents and CBP members had to figure out each individual whether or not they fit in a particular category and they could adjudicate that case. The president wanted to take the shackles off individuals in these agencies and say, you have a mission, there are laws that need to be followed, you should do your mission and follow the law.
As of today, any immigrant living in the U.S. illegally who has committed a crime or been suspected of committing a crime is a priority for enforcement. That includes petty infractions like traffic offenses or shoplifting. These new marching orders could set up conflicts in several Bay Area communities that self-describe as sanctuary cities. San Francisco is one, and the Public Defender is hosting a community forum tomorrow to discuss ways in which the city and county can provide lawyers for immigrants to help them fight deportation. That's tomorrow at 5 p.m. at the Corret Auditorium at the San Francisco Public Library. There was another announcement out of the White House today. The Trump administration plans to change the Obama administration's guidelines that protected the rights of transgender students to use bathrooms that match their gender identity, not the sex they were assigned at birth. Since Trump's election, many trans people have been scrambling to legally change their gender, fearing that the new administration will roll back trans rights. The first step to update what's called the gender marker on documents like driver's licenses and passports is to get a doctor's note certifying a gender transition. Since November, the Lyon Martin Health Clinic in San Francisco has been seeing a huge increase in the number of people coming in to get those doctor's letters. KALW's health reporter Marissa Ortega Welch brings us this story.
And I'm just going to do a short intake to take your vitals really quickly, okay. And then Dr. Herbakin will be right in to see you.
Great.
Okay, awesome.
Chris Gambardella is visiting the doctor today in order to get a new driver's license.
And I'm here to update my gender and name on my legal documents.
Chris is 26 and does social work in San Francisco. Like a lot of trans people, he has yet to legally change the gender on his IDs.
I am not a fan of paperwork and reading through all the legal jargon, so I've been putting this off, and I just feel like I can't put it off anymore.
Because he's worried he might not always have this right.
So I'm here today to kind of get ahead of what the incoming or new administration could potentially take away from trans folks.
President Trump hasn't said anything about the policies that allow trans people to legally change their gender, but he's surrounded himself with people who have a track record of opposing LGBT rights. That has trans people worried. So the Lyon Martin Clinic decided to host a pop-up to help the increasing number of people who want to update their documents. The first step, visit the doctor.
Hi, Dawn.
Chris?
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
This is Lion Martin's medical director, Dawn Harbatkin.
You filled out a whole lot of paperwork for us. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Basically, her task is to review all of Chris's paperwork and certify that he has undergone a gender transition.
A couple questions that I had for you. You didn't say anything about birth certificate.
Lion Martin is also helping people navigate this very complicated bureaucratic process.
So I wasn't sure if I needed to change my birth certificate to change my license and passport, or if a Social Security card would be sufficient.
Think about it. There are a lot of documents that list your gender, your driver's license, passport, Social Security record, and birth certificate. If you have a green card, it's on there too.
So what state were you born in?
New York.
New York is hard.
Fantastic.
Different states have different rules about how and even if you can change the gender on your birth certificate.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, I'm JM.
JM, Chris.
Nice to meet you.
You as well.
JM Jaffe, the trans health manager for Lion Martin, brings in a stack of letters the doctor just signed. Chris will need to take one of these to each agency where he wants to update his ID.
Okay. So agency being Social Security, DMV, and passport.
You got it. Yep.
Awesome.
Okay.
Great.
Sounds good.
Nice meeting you.
Thanks
for your help.
In the past, JM helped on average 3 to 5 people a week with this process.
Once Trump was actually elected, that jumped up to about 30 to 40 per week, and has been pretty steadily maintaining that rate.
Again, Trump hasn't said he wants to go after the laws that allow people to legally change their gender. But he's consistently advocated for repealing the Affordable Care Act, and that could impact trans people's health more generally. In the last 6 years, there have been federal gains for trans rights. The Obama administration rewrote the policy requiring gender reassignment surgery to legally change gender. Now, all that's required is what's called clinically appropriate gender transition, letting doctors and patients decide if a person has undergone a gender change.
And we really love this language because not only is surgery not appropriate for some people, but it's also not affordable for some people.
Now, trans people are concerned that this policy will get rewritten again. Even if it doesn't, JM says, the Trump presidency has people worried about a rise in transphobia in general. You might have heard about so-called bathroom bills. States like North Carolina passed laws that require people to use the bathroom of the biological sex that's listed on their birth certificate. Trump took action last week by supporting a handful of states over their right to maintain these policies. This all has many trans people rushing to update their documents. That's why Lion Martin decided to host this pop-up clinic and open its doors to the general public.
Because we were really thinking, if our patients need this, there have got to be other people who don't have access to a primary care provider who also need this.
JM says many trans people don't have health insurance, and if they do, they often get inadequate care, even in a seemingly progressive place like the Bay Area.
You know, stats show that many medical schools teach you less than 5 hours of LGBT care, and you can imagine how much of those 5 hours are actually the T portion.
It's also an expensive and confusing process.
It can be upwards of $600 to actually change every single document. Going to the court takes time. I have to take time off of work. So it's a pretty arduous process.
A few days later, Chris is practically giddy to run an errand most people hope to avoid.
I am at the DMV on Fell Street.
He's going to try and change the gender marker on his license,
which I'm pretty stoked about.
He brought his doctor's letters from the clinic,
along with my current New York license, my passport,
registration, and insurance.
I just brought everything I could think of just in case.
He also brought a lunch because he doesn't know how long he'll be here.
And I'm hoping that I get a new picture because that's what I think what's giving me the most problems recently. Like the last week or so, I've gotten called out every time I've used my license. People saying like, that's not you. I'm like, no, it is me. I promise.
Now serving
1-1. Window 14 is calling you right now.
Window 14?
Yes.
Hi, how are you today?
Okay. And what are you coming in to do today?
I am updating, getting an ID and updating my gender marker.
From here, Chris has to schedule a court date, which could be months away. He hopes the judge will issue him a legal name and gender change. Then he'll take that and his doctor's note back to the DMV and all the other agencies that issue IDs.
Please let me have you put your signature, date, and phone number.
I get a new picture today, right?
Yeah, you will take pictures.
At least in a few weeks, he'll be getting an ID in the mail with a photo and gender marker that matches who he is.
No, nice smile.
Yeah?
Yeah. Cool. Can you see it?
Awesome. Thank you.
Even though the new administration hasn't proposed any policy changes, Chris is motivated. He's on his way to legalizing his gender, just in case. In San Francisco, I'm Marissa Ortega-Welch for Cross Currents.
Marissa is KALW's health reporter. Suggest a story you'd like to hear her cover by email. Email us at health@kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. If you listen to KALW before Cross Currents, chances are you've heard our next interviewee co-hosting All Things Considered. Kelly McEvers has had a well-traveled career in journalism. She's reported stories from Beirut to Baghdad and won multiple awards for her coverage of the Syrian conflict. And she's not done reporting yet. These days, Kelly's been hosting and producing NPR's investigative podcast Embedded, soon to launch its second season. KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs spoke to her about her career as a radio journalist and what it means to become truly embedded in a community.
Was there a particular community or instance that you found was memorably hard to embed yourself in, and how did you deal with it?
It's funny because I think one of the hardest ones was with people in Austin, Indiana, people who by a lot of accounts are as close to my experience as anyone I've ever reported on. I mean, they're literally hours away from the small town that I grew up in, a small town that itself is embroiled in an opioid crisis. I'm familiar with drug use, you know, and living in a community like this, but it was still hard because I represented something different. You know, I could say, like, I'm just from, you know, a few counties over, which was true, but, like, I represent this other thing, this East Coast media organization, which very few people were even familiar with at all, right? They're like, NPR, what's that? I mean, in some ways, like, the people who I think are closest to you can be the hardest to report on, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because on one level, you're just like, yeah, we know each other. We get each other. Like, you know, I mean, my like, language even kind of slipped into my, you know, as we all do, I think, right? We all code switch a little bit in our own little way. I kind of slipped into kind of like hick Central Illinois language a little bit more when I was there, you know, and almost it was like there was like too much familiarity, like, and so that actually made it harder to do it. But yeah, I mean, it's always hard. Like, there's always this super complicated thing of like, hi, I'm parachuting into your world. Sing me the song of your people. You know, I mean, it's horrible. Like, it's just, it's terrible, right? You're just, at worst, as Janet Malcolm says, you are stealing from people. You are exploiting their situation. You know, in her book, The Journalist and the Murderer, like, it's, she famously writes about this. But at best, you are trying to get in there and say, I respect you. I am here to listen to you. You are in control of this situation. I am completely transparent about who I am. I am not tricking you. I am telling you exactly what I'm doing from the moment I walk in the door. I'm giving you complete, like, full-on reasons for why I'm here and doing this story and who I work for and where it's going to air and what it's going to be. And you have the freedom to say yes or no to this scenario. Mm-hmm. And in the best case scenario, people say yes because they want to talk. They want to tell their story. I have found that pretty much anywhere I go, all over the world, if you sit down, look somebody in the eye, and you're truly listening to them, truly listening to them, and you're genuinely curious about their life and who they are and how they got to be where they are. You know, there's just a constant conversation about it. I'm not in a hurry. You know, I don't have to get back and file on a deadline. It's like, I'll sit here as long as you need because I want to be here. And I also want you to want me to be here.
Is there someone you talked to either here or abroad that you felt like you would have loved to spend some more time and tell their story, but you just didn't have the opportunity for whatever reason in that particular moment?
I mean, everyone in Syria.
Everyone in Syria.
Right? Like, I didn't do enough. I'll never get over the feeling that I didn't do enough in Syria, ever. Mm-hmm. And just sit and listen to the people tell their stories for as long as they needed to tell them. There were times when I had to go in and go out really fast because it wasn't safe for me or for them, for me to be sitting there interviewing them. There were times when I'd be in a refugee camp and I'd just have to talk to somebody for like 3 questions. It was horrible. We almost kind of stopped doing it at some point because it was worse to go in and do it so fast than not doing it at all. You know, all these stories I did in the Middle East, like I was never alone. And which is something I loved about my job at the time so much. You know, I was always riding with a posse. And on any given story, like you name the story, and I can tell you the story of the people who helped make it possible. And I feel like that is something that people very rarely ask me. You know, Ahmed, Rima, Hussein, Lava, all the people who rolled with me, Allah, our driver in Aleppo, like all the people who just rolled with me and just made it possible. I feel like I don't get to tell those stories enough.
That's NPR host Kelly McEvers speaking with KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs. You can find a link to Kelly's podcast Embedded at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanna Baba. The avant-garde theater troupe Thrill Peddlers has been shocking, titillating, and yes, thrilling audiences in the San Francisco theater The Hypnodrome since 2004. They specialize in reviving audacious theatrical styles like the Grand Guignol, a turn-of-the-century French blend of horror and sex farce, and Andy Warhol-era Theater of the Ridiculous. But now, 13 years later, they're building is being sold. Thrill Peddlers must vacate the premises by the end of the month. Founder and director Russell Blackwood sat down with KALW's Jen Chien to reflect on the group's time at the Hypnodrome and talk about what's next.
So sadly, eviction from your beloved theater, the Hypnodrome, is looming. But unlike some other stories about arts organizations that have been losing their homes recently in the Bay, this is not a story of some evil landlord kicking you out for no reason or out of nowhere. Can you talk a bit about the history of you being in the space, how you came to be there, and how you were able to stay for so long?
In 2004, my husband Jim, who's a mailman down in Los Gatos, was on the first day of a new mail route. And he walked down this long drive and through the front gates of this incredible estate called La Estancia, with a giant koi pond and a beautiful house that had been revamped Spanish mission style, though the house itself was built in the 1880s. And right off the bat, he met one of the gentlemen who lives there. And he was wearing a Thrill Peddlers t-shirt, which is a devil skull creature with the logo Sissy Stay Home on it. And immediately, this gentleman, Larry, asked Jim about the shirt. Jim said, oh, yes, it's the theater company that my husband and I have, and we've produced several shows at the Exit Theater and at the Odeon. But I tell you, renting space is a hard way to go running a theater. And then and there, he said, oh, I have a warehouse in San Francisco that you could do plays in. And lo and behold, by the next Shocktoberfest, 4 months later, 5 months later, we were producing in that space. Now, the offer was for 2 years, though I got to say, in the second year, Larry said, well, with my luck, you guys will be here 10 years. And lo and behold, we were able to be there for 13.
And meaning, with my luck, he had plans to sell the building even back then.
Exactly right.
But it just didn't happen until now.
Exactly right. And I think probably he was watching the real estate market, but doing an awful lot of, letting us, an awful lot of allowing, let's say.
Uh-huh.
And so to have had 13 years here was a real gift.
Did he come to shows?
Oh, yes, many times for sure. He and his partner, David, both.
Excellent. Sorry, I interrupted you. You were going to say something else? Okay. Well, how are you feeling then about the move out? It's not a complete surprise. Is it something that you've had contingency plans for in the back of your mind, or is it just something that you haven't thought about and you've just been producing each show as it comes?
Always producing each show as it comes, and always with it in the back of my mind that this could be the last one, which is an interesting set of given circumstances to make theater in, and not necessarily a negative one.
Can you elaborate on that? How is it not negative?
Well, in that I continued to embrace the specialness of the group of people that came together to do it, and the opportunity really to do it at all with the kind of support of having your own place.
It sounds really like an enlightened response to me, that the sense of uncertainty would actually engender in you gratitude and not anxiety.
It hasn't always been so.
It hasn't always lacked anxiety. I'd like to read a quote from you. This is from an article I found from a few years ago. You said, "Thrill Peddlers is a multi-generational freak theater. Man, that makes me proud." Your company is in the lineage of this freaky, glittery, deviant behavior, quote unquote, San Francisco performance tradition. Do you feel like it's a sign of the times that you're losing your space now? And what place do you think this kind of freakiness still has in San Francisco?
It's definitely not a misnomer to say that Thrill Peddlers is multi-generational. One of the programs that you and I haven't talked about yet that also has 10 years of summers behind it is our Creepshow Camp, which is a classic horror camp for kids 8 through 15. So working with kids as young as grade school, and albeit not necessarily in our adult productions, and then folks primarily from the Cockettes who are in this late 60s, early 70s age range, it really is a place where we're all coming together. And I think that no matter the age, the term freak is something that many of us do embrace. So it's outsider art, without a doubt. Is that kind of art being threatened in the Bay Area? Yes, profoundly.
How do you feel about that as a purveyor of that kind of art?
San Francisco, I think, has always been a boomtown. And to think that it's going to stay in the spirit of the Gold Rush or the spirit of the peace movement of the 60s or gay liberation or tech, to think that that's going to last forever is wrongheaded. It's not the spirit of the area. It's changeable. And we need to be at peace with that and do what we can to keep our voices as freaks strong.
That was director and founder of theater troupe Thrill Peddlers, Russell Blackwood. Thrill Peddlers will be holding a rummage sale of costumes, set pieces, and props this Saturday and Sunday at the Hypnodrome Theater in San Francisco. All the details are at kalw.org. Click Cross Currents. And that's it for Cross Currents. Today's production team includes Leela Day, Olivia Henry, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Jürgen Klemm, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, Claire Strempel, and Beatrice Thomas. The show was engineered by James Rollins. The line producer was Liza Veal. Jen Sheehan is our managing editor. Julie Kane is our managing producer. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Today's local music is the swing surf punk band known as Van Goat. Van Goat plays at the Elbow Room in San Francisco on Friday night. All the details are at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
Just like she said.